Everybody, ooh, like a loud. I normally put the mic here, so then I'll have to put it here. Okay. Good morning. I wanted to say thank you for the warm welcome, but it's not warm here, eh? In Grabo. Do I have a seat, man? Okay. The reason why Joy's up here is Willem just asked that we share a little bit about ourselves today during the preach. So we're going to share some of our stories and share it from the perspective of how we've been led by the Holy Spirit over the years. So Joy is here, just so you can, she's going to share a little bit as well as we go, just as the Spirit leads, so we don't have a comic show planned here where we tag team. So we'll see how the Spirit leads, and we'll weave in some scripture, and we'll weave in our stories, just so you can see that we're on the same page, that Joy supports us being here and supports how we've moved along over the years. And probably just to correct some of the stories as we go as well. You know, sometimes the ladies are better with the details. And we maybe remember moving, but we don't remember all the details as to why we moved. So that's really our heart this morning, but let's commit the time to the Lord. So Lord, we thank you that you're with us. We thank you for this wonderful home, and thank you for the warm, made a joke about it, but thank you for the warm welcome that we've had, Lord, and people just opening up their lives and opening up their hearts to us, Lord, and we trust that we're going to find a family here, Lord, and find a home here, and we're just so excited for that. So thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll mention David and Sam a bit later. David's sitting there in the black top with the glasses. We're going to pray them in next week because Sam had to suddenly go to George. She found out 2 days ago that she had to go to George for some of her studies. So I'll mention them later in when we get... I've got 33 years to work through in probably 33 minutes, so maybe we should get cracking. And I must get used to this Opus 9 start as well. What's that? A story a minute. There we go. Well done. Yeah, so I'll mention David and Sam, and then we've also got the Dupriers visiting us here today from Somerset West, so thanks for coming through. Pierre, jy moes 'n trui saamgebring het, jong. Because I'm a bit like Stefan. I'm normally one of the last guys to put on long pants and a warm top. So if I'm dressed like this, then it is cold, yeah. But yeah, thanks for having us here this morning. And thanks for welcoming us in. And as I said, we want to talk about living in the Spirit. And we haven't always got it right, but we want to just share our journey. And it'll help you understand where we're coming from, where we are in the stage of our life as well. And how we've sought to be led by the Spirit, and if we can do it, then anybody can do it. That's so we don't have an amazing testimony of like coming out of drugs or coming out of prison or anything like that. We came up through the church, but that itself has benefits in terms of ministering to different people, and we've seen lots of different churches. So we've seen churches that function well, some that don't function so well, different types of leadership skills. So we've seen a lot over the years that we can also tap into and that have shaped us. And us as leaders, we know what works, what doesn't work, what hurts the people, what leads the people, that sort of thing. So I really want to touch on how we live in the Spirit, in the big things and the little things and the church things. Because sometimes, you know, we have the Holy Spirit as an emergency pack in the boot, and we don't have him set as our GPS. And I love the picture of the Holy Spirit being our GPS. He's the one that guides us where we're going on a daily basis. And, you know, the illustration of the Bible being like the map, let's say the map of Grabo now, and I don't know if you need a GPS to get around Grabo, but let me not knock Grabo on the first day. But, So let's talk about let's say the Greater Cape Town. So you've got a map of the Greater Cape Town, and you say, right, we're not going outside the borders of that, but to know where we're going, we need the GPS to guide us where to turn and what the speed limit is and where there's an accident and that sort of thing. And the Bible is the map. The Bible, you don't go outside the borders of the map, and the Holy Spirit won't take you outside the borders of the Bible. So when somebody says, no, the Holy Spirit told me I need to have a second wife. No, that's outside the borders of the Bible. But the Holy Spirit then is the one that we listen to on a daily basis in terms of where do we need to be. Because the Bible is our instruction. But the Bible doesn't tell you how to run a youth meeting or how to run a community or what to do on a Sunday morning. So the Holy Spirit is the one that guides us in the detail. Okay, so Holy Spirit is our GPS, not in the boot as our emergency pack. And some of us do that and we say, well, we're just living life and then boom, big decision comes. I need to now decide whether I must move from Joburg to Cape Town or must I change jobs or must we have another child? Poof, then the Holy Spirit gets taken out the boot. What should we do in this situation? And yes, we must use the Holy Spirit for our big decisions, but for all our decisions. And I just want to touch on some of that today. And then, of course, then lastly, I'll get to our church life as well, involving the Holy Spirit in the church. And you know, you come a lot of, we grew up in mainstream church. We grew up Methodist, which is very similar to Enkhia, which I'm sure a lot of you come out of Enkhia background. And what was I going to say now? Yes, something about that. Yeah, and sorry, and in mainstream church, my conscience. So mainstream church, there's a lot of people that say, I believe in God, my creator, and I believe in Jesus as my savior, but I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not into the supernatural. Well, hello, God and Jesus are also supernatural. We serve a supernatural God, and he's this triune God, and the Holy Spirit is a very important part of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is a person, and God is a person. Right, so God is a person. He has a personal relationship with us. So if we want to really live in relationship with God, this triune God, we have to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because the way he deals with me is different to the way he deals with Stefan, different to Joy, Carla, because he's a personal God. He has a personal relationship with us. And even the way we may be built in a different suburb is different. So we moved from Edgemead to Somerset West, now in Crabow, and every church is different. We can't bring and say, well, when we were in Somerset West or when we were in Edgemead, I said to the leadership team, if I say in Somerset West, you're allowed to kick me on the shin, because the way we built there is not necessarily what the Holy Spirit wants to do yet. It's different people, different environment, and maybe even different to what you had in Kingsway. And I see that K-Way doesn't stand for Kingsway, does it? So leaving Kingsway behind now, it was a wonderful season. Five great years at Kingsway, partly after the coffee shop, but a long time at Kingsway, and you guys built well there. Now you're moving into a new venue. New people are going to come. It's a new season. So it's not the looking back. And we've strongly felt that this week, not looking back to Somerset West, exited all the WhatsApp groups. We're fully in with you guys. Can I get an amen? All right. Yeah, so I mentioned, okay, so let's talk a little bit about ourselves. So we met when I was 17, Joy was 16, so that's just over 33 years ago. So we've walked, we're both 50, we're both 50 for now. Mine will clock tick over soon. And so when we met as teenagers, I was in the Methodist Church then. Joy came to come and help teach Sunday school at that point.
Okay. Okay, so I had a fantastic Omar that was totally reborn and on fire and operated in the gifts. My parents were kind of on the fringe. They would drop us off at church and go back to bed, you know, those kind of parents. And I went and I did confirmation classes at the Methodist Church just so that one day I could get married or die. You know, there's that thing that if you're not confirmed, you can't get married in the church or whatever. So I met Craig, and I literally followed him back to church. I only went to church because I followed him, not because I wanted to sit in the service. And I was quite happy to get involved and help him teach Sunday school also so that I don't have to sit in the boring service. You want to carry on?
Maybe just to add, so the way I got into the church was from sub B in those days, or grade 2. My parents dropped us off there, and our parents were sort of in and out of church, but it never stuck for them, and it never stuck for my sister, but it stuck for me. And the big thing for me was the love of those Sunday school teachers. It was then Goodwood Methodist, because Edgemead didn't have a Methodist church yet. The love of those Sunday school teachers that I remember from those, and I don't remember anything they taught me, to be honest, but I just remember the love and going on the camps and stuff like that. So our kids' work teachers are probably all out now at the moment, but just an encouragement to those involved in kids' church and those that want to get involved, go to the Indaba. You have such an impact on those children's lives. And maybe they don't remember everything you taught, and maybe they fall away when they're 20, 21, But those seeds that you've planted, they will come around. And it's amazing the work that we do. And we've got such a high percentage of kids here. So I just want to, just a side note on that. Yeah, so maybe just to talk about praying with Omar. Okay.
So I'd had enough of men. And I went to my room and I was angry and sulky. And I said, I never want to get married and I never want another boyfriend. And my Oma followed me into the room and she said, don't worry, we're going to pray about it. And I was just like, okay, pray about it. And she said, Lord, please send Joy, Mr. Wright. And the very next man I met was Craig, and now my surname is Mrs. Wright. So God has got a sense of humor. Yeah,
people ask, when they hear my name's Wright, they say, oh, you're always right. I said, I used to be until I married Mrs. Wright. Yes. Yeah. But just some of the examples from a family point of view, like when...
You should finish your salvation story of how we actually got saved.
Okay, you can do that too. Yeah, so we... So that was 1992 that we then met and we were teaching together in the church. Joy wasn't saved yet, but teaching Sunday school. I got saved in my primary school years. And we were doing church, but not spirit-filled and not spirit-led. And then, but, you know, teaching them on the love of Jesus, experiencing church as it was then for us. And then in 1997, we went on a camp with some other churches that were spirit-filled. And I experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit for the first time, fell over. Joy ran to the room, the girls' room. We were still students at that stage. But from 1997, then we got baptized. We both got baptized then, and we felt the difference. I mean, when you're teaching in your own strength, and then you start teaching with the help of the Holy Spirit, what a difference. And that's when we started seeking God together. And then got married in 99. We had our daughter 2000, our son 2001. So then God worked quickly. But then at that stage, we had the Holy Spirit guiding us in our decisions and in our ministry, which made such a difference.
So when we went on the camp, I freaked out when I saw him fall over and people speaking in tongues and all that sort of thing. So I did run away, but I went to my room and I said, okay, God, if you're real and all this stuff is part of you and it exists and whatever, show me. And I took out the Bible and I started paging through it. And then all my girls that I was in charge of, I was their leader, came into the room petrified because they'd seen someone on the floor doing this and hissing like a snake. And then they looked to me as their leader that I must now please explain. And I was as blind and as deaf and as mute as what they were. So we sat and together we actually searched the Bible and God sent us to all the right scriptures. That by the end of the evening, we wanted what Craig had experienced. And we had regret, and we were like, we missed out, you know. And then on that next week, I went on a mission to find God, and I read the Bible probably cover to cover in a month. And it was the love of the Word that got me saved, the finding God in Scripture. And it was radical. It was absolutely radical. Every time I came into contact with water, I would cry. If I washed dishes, if I had a shower, if I went out in the rain, anytime I was having contact with water, I would just cry. And there's that scripture about the washing over you with the Word, and it's for healing and for cleansing. And I think God was really just cleansing all my brokenness from the past. So, yes, I taught Sunday school for 5 years before I got saved. And, you know, any one of you sitting here today, you might have been playing church your whole life, but God wants you to step into the more.
Yeah, and we had a wonderful Methodist minister at the time. He'd been, I think, a minister since age 18, 19, and I was 60, so like a real institutionalized Methodist minister. And he said he can't baptize us, because we'd already been christened and confirmed, so it would be sort of a contradiction for a Methodist minister to do that. But he went with us to this other church where we got baptized, and he supported us in that, and that was a big thing for us as well. Yeah. Right, so I think one of the first experiences of where God really spoke with us, I was, so in those late 90s, I was still an article clerk, So I studied accounting, was doing my articles. You don't earn much as an article clerk. And then fell pregnant with Gina. And then we bought a plot in Edgemead, which was a testament itself. I won't do that today. And then shortly, 4 months after Gina was born, we fell pregnant with Stephen. So there was a good, very close gap between our kids. And then it was like, well, Lord, what do we do now? I mean, second kid on the way. We got this plot we're planning to build. How are we going to do this? And in our quiet time that morning, because we were doing a combined quiet time, the scripture we got was, I've given you this land, build and prosper. And we were just like bowled over. I mean, how can God speak directly to us like this? And that, so as young people, we started experiencing how God can speak directly to us through his word and through other means as well. Okay, so let's look at a few scriptures. Can we, Carla, start with John 10, 27? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And if we want to hear the voice of Jesus and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, we've got to be looking to him. And the amazing thing with sheep is, and maybe you guys, it's not really sheep country, but maybe you know better than me, is sheep will follow their shepherd. So you can have 5 flocks of sheep out together, and the shepherd will call, and his sheep will come, because they know his voice, and we've got to be seeking the voice of the shepherd. So when we pray, it's not just about, here's my laundry list for the day, Lord, please make this happen and that not happen, but it's giving time for God to speak back. It's a conversation, and it's listening for the voice. And that's through prayer time and, of course, spending time in the Word. The best way to learn the shepherd's voice is to spend time in the Word. So I just want to encourage you in that. Then John 15. When the Counselor comes with the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So that's Jesus speaking, and he's saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to testify. So the Holy Spirit is the one that brings life out of the Word. So if we're just reading the Word, it can be like reading a textbook or like reading a history book, but the Holy Spirit brings it to life. The Holy Spirit brings life to what we're reading. So we read in spirit and in truth. So we need the Holy Spirit to reveal, sorry, is the word I was looking for. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us through the word. As we're going through the word, the Holy Spirit will wash over us and reveal the word to us. So we need to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit when we're working through the word, when we're praying, when we're in community together. And then that third scripture, Romans 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset on what their nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. So it's, and a lot of people make the mistake thinking that the Holy Spirit is just an emotional connection. But read there what it says, their mindset on what the Spirit desires. We tune our minds in. So on a daily basis, when you're wanting to walk in the ways of the Lord and seek the ways of the Holy Spirit, it's actually a conscious decision. It's not just a emotional heart connection, but it's also with a mind. And it's also consciously thinking, I need to lay that down and I need to follow the Lord. And I need to stay away from this and stay away from this and focus on this. So there's definitely mind involved there in seeking the Lord. Okay, so maybe then some of our stories in terms of moving churches. So then we were in the Methodist Church for a long time. I mean, I started teaching there when I was 16, so that was 1990, and we left end of 2008. So that's a long time in that church environment. But then we felt God saying, move. So we knew we had to move, and whenever we went to Scripture, the word teach would come up, because we were both teaching. So we were a lot younger then, so we were, you know, running Youth Alpha, with the teenagers, with the little ones, a lot with the children. At that stage of your life, you know more kids in the church than you know adults. And now it's the other way around. That at one point, God also just said to me, right, your kids' ministry is now, that season has ended, and he moved me into adult ministry. And that was also an exciting time. But God was saying, teach to us. So we started moving around, visiting other churches to see where God wanted us. And every time we visited a church, we said, we're Sunday school teachers. And they said, we don't know you, so you're welcome to sit in the church for a few weeks, and then we'll take it from there. And we said, but we've been called to teach. So maybe, I don't know, it sounds like a little bit of arrogance, but we were called to teach. And I mean, we both grew up in Edgemead, so we knew a lot of the people anyway. But they didn't know our hearts, really, as Sunday school teachers.
I think the The fact that the Lord was actually saying to us, teach, it was a signal for us to look out for. You know how the Holy Spirit will reveal something, a word to you, and then there'll come a time where he highlights that, and then you know, okay, that's the direction I have to move in.
Yeah, so we kept moving, and then we bumped into Will Murray at the Edgemead Shopping Center, at the Edgemead Spa. So we knew Will Murray also just from knowing him in Edgemead. We knew that he was in full-time ministry. He knew that we were involved in church, but he also didn't know our hearts. But when he saw us, he said, when are you guys coming to teach at my church? And that, as Joy says, that was the signal, right, this is where we need to go. And he wasn't part of Josh Gen yet. So that was beginning 2009. He was running a church in Edgemead called Kingdom Faith Family Church. And then 2010, he then got in with Andrew. And that Edgemead church we were part of became Edgemead Josh Gen. And then Will got used in the apostolic, and they started sending in other guys to run it. So that's how we got into Josh Gen. That's how we got in with the late Will Murray. And then, yeah, and then we served a long time there in Edgemead, part of a big deacon team. So, I mean, there were about six eldership couples, and we were part of a deacon team that sort of was between 20 and 24 over the years. So a very big team, own building that was used for a lot of other activities, so funerals, training, all that sort of stuff. So there was always a lot to do. So we're quite used to packing chairs and doing parking and stuff, so you can use us in that. So that's like Willem said, we're quite used to like sort of building and structure and that sort of thing. And I actually missed that right in the beginning, just to, as part of the introduction, to say that we actually both naturally introverted and very structured. So that's why Spirit-led was actually a stretch for us when we were younger. Because I was, you know, so introverted that if we have a community group and the people start introducing themselves, then the sweat starts running because the death creep is coming around and I don't want to have to introduce myself and say where I work and what I do and all that sort of thing. And, you know, the more we submit to the Holy Spirit, the more he uses us. And the more you're able to step out and right, I'm actually now participating in community. And now I'm running community. And now I'm stepping out and doing announcements or in the worship team. Now I'm preaching. You know, so as we allow the Holy Spirit to use us more, we can step out more. And he gives us that confidence to step out. And he builds our faith. And it builds other people's faith. And then they build back. And we're able to step out into the more. And I've taken another segue there. Now we're talking about moving to Somerset West. And so then we were comfortable in Edgemead. We lived in Edgemead. Our party trick is that both the two of us and our kids all went to Edgemead Primary, but we went to four different high schools. So we were all used to growing. I was born into Edgemead, and I was 46 then when we left Edgemead. So a long time there, and you really get comfortable, and you know everybody. But then we felt, poof, God was saying move. And we were getting lots of signs of, like, when I used to go for a run, and I do run occasionally. I don't run a six-hour Comrades, though, but I do run. And then I would run past the Edge Church, and on there it says, move, 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 move. And then I ran, and I stopped to stretch in a garden, and there was a little bicycle with four plants on it. And I felt at that time, straight away, that God was saying he's going to move all four of us and our kids. And I was like, Stephen's in Wellington at TMT, and Gina, we think, is going to study there. And we thought at that stage, maybe God's going to send us to Durbanville, because God was saying move, and he was saying build. And we thought, well, Durbanville's building a building. Maybe he's going to move us to Durbanville. So, but as God worked out, all four of us moved to Somerset West. And our kids are in their early 20s. They're adults. They're serving in Somerset West at the moment. So God moved all four of us at that time to Somerset West. And Joy also got some amazing signs there. We don't have to share all of them. But like going onto a website to search for something in that area, the Tigerberg area, and Somerset West coming up, poof. And then driving on Bosman's Dam in the Milnerton area and seeing a massive billboard saying Blue Rock, Somerset West. So there were just lots of confirmations that we had to move to Somerset West after we originally thought God was sending us to Durbanville.
Sorry, I used to be quite a control freak, and I like to know exactly, you know, tell me my role and I'll have my ducks in a row and all that kind of thing. But I wasn't the type of person that liked too many curveballs or not knowing where I'm going or what I'm doing, you know. And God told us to move during COVID, and we were trying to sell our house during COVID. And it was probably a year or maybe even longer process waiting for God to show us where he was moving us to. It's like he was building that faith in us to trust him that even if we don't know where he's sending us, that we've got the faith to go. So each move we've done, whether it was from the Methodist Church to Wilmarais Church, that was more obedience. And then from Wilmarais Church to Josh Jen, that was also sort of giving up our own will, because we went to go check out Josh Jen when the children were babies. And they took an hour just to do notices and worship before they started the sermon. And I needed to go breastfeed my baby. And I was like, I'm never coming back to this church again. And then God had a roundabout way of actually getting us into Josh Jen through Wilmarais Church converting to a Josh Jen. So that was also just surrendering my own will and submitting to God. And then from going from Edgemere to Somerset West, that was blindly following God, you know, trusting him and not knowing where he's sending you. And even here, it's another step again of actually listening to your leaders and being willing to go and sacrifice. So, Craig, you can carry on.
I think that Josh Jen was an hour before they started worship, just an hour of announcements and family matters and so on. Yeah. So we were like, how do you manage little kids through a process like this? Yeah. Yeah. So then we moved to Somerset West. Yeah. And we've been there now 4 years. So we came across as deacons. And then in the September of that year, we got prayed in as elders. And we've loved being part of that team. And it was just a few Monday nights ago. And we were at planned elders meeting, and on the agenda was assistance for Gerbo. And, you know, a year ago, I said to Willem, a year ago, we had such a heart for you guys, knowing that you double timing and really pouring yourselves out here, and people fly in and out and fly in and out. But we've been saying they actually need proper full-time part-time assistance, you know, and not just people flying in and out. And I felt it as soon as I saw it on the agenda, I felt, this is it. This is now the time. And I knew I would have Joy's support in that as well. And at that elders meeting, I said, Richard, you know, are we just going to keep going in and out, or do you need somebody to go? And it happened all very quickly. I think they spoke to Willem the next day, and by the Friday, they'd spoken to the directing elders. And then we told, on that Friday, we told our leaders we've got an emergency meeting on Monday, or impromptu meeting. And then we visited you guys for your birthday that Sunday. And I'd put my hand up on the Monday. So that's how quickly it happened. You know, so sometimes these things take long to process people and take long to, I think, change people's hearts as well in terms of what they're leaving behind. And wonderful people like that we've got to know over the years as well. And I'm going to get emotional. And, I mean, we've had a good connection with people. But God's moving us, and God's moved our hearts, and we're ready to run hard and serve with you guys.
Sorry, I just want to mention as well, most of the things that I was involved in at Somerset West were fairly easy to lay down and to get other people to run with. But the ladies' Bible study that I had started would have been a more tricky thing to lay down. So God started working on me December last year. And at the end of last year, just before the holidays, he said to me, lay down ladies' Bible study. And I still thought, why? It doesn't make sense, you know? And then it was holidays, and then as soon as January started, I heard it twice again, lay down ladies' Bible study. And I didn't understand why, and it felt wrong. But I brought it to the girls, and I said to them, you know, what do you think? And God had actually laid on my heart someone to take over the ladies' Bible study. And a lady in the group confirmed that she would be the one to take over. And as that happened, it's like the joy of the Lord actually just filled this woman, Desney. And it's like it was just the right thing, you know. You just know, you see it. You see the Spirit come on that person and they have that anointing to do it. And it was always my heart as well to grow more leaders and then split the group because there were just so many of the ladies now. There are 22 ladies. And then Chrisanda over there, she has now taken over half of the girls and Desney's got the other half. And literally last week was the last week that we were combined as one group and where I had handed over to the two of them to now run with it. And that's the same week that God told us to move and come here. So God planned that in advance that I would let that go. And even the training in advance, I mean, it just blows my mind that it all just fell into place as it did.
En die Depreus weet, Joyce Afrikaans is beter as myne. Ek klink miskien 'n bietjie meer Afrikaans, maar Afrikaans is beter. Maar ons kom van die Edgemead, the Goodwood area, so dis die noordelike voorstede van Kaapstad. So ons verstaan nogal Afrikaans. So julle is welkom in Afrikaans te praat en laat ons Afrikaans 'n bietjie oefen. But when it comes to ministry, that's strictly English for me. Okay. But help us with our Afrikaans, please. So maybe just a quick ad break in terms of our current situation in Somerset West. So I'm working in Montague Gardens. I think the same building that Vilna retired from. You didn't work after that, did you? So Vilna and I worked together in that building that I'm still in and retired probably, can I say 10 years ago? Yeah, 10 years ago. So I head up the finances for that company. We're a national company, but I'm based in Montague Gardens. So that is, in terms of my other things that take my priority and my attention is my work there, which is very stressful at certain times of the year, you can imagine, being in finance. And then we've got adult kids that see to themselves. They're serving in Somerset West. They live with us. So they are...
They're both single.
Watch this space for photos. Both single, both love the Lord. I'm sure they will come... Both in the worship teams, I'm sure they'll come and bless us here at some time. You've really knocked me off course there now. So the kids, so we've got a responsibility towards our children. They're both still studying. Hopefully they'll start working from next year. And then my parents are in a retirement village in Pinelands. They pretty much look after themselves. But Joy's parents are in the same village as us in Somerset West. And Skoonma's got bad dementia. So she... is a full-time job between the daytime carer and Skoonpa and Joy helps out there. So if Joy says, ek kan nie nou nie, then you know there's a valid reason. She's probably busy with Skoonma. But other than my work and our kids and Skoonma, we are all yours and we're ready to serve you guys.
Can I just mention my hearing? Sorry, I have one ear that is successfully working at the moment. I'm waiting for my miracle on this side. So when you need to speak to me, please get my attention first so that I'm looking at your mouth, and then don't speak with your hand over your mouth. I need to lip read partly to be able to hear fully what you are saying. So if you can speak up when you speak to me, don't hold your hand in front of your mouth, and if I don't catch what you're saying, rephrase it in a different way. That sometimes helps. And if you're Afrikaans, please speak a little bit slower because I understand Afrikaans, but I'm not proficient in lip reading Afrikaans. So, not yet. So, thank you. I appreciate that.
And Joy will, I think one day Joy must just share her testimony about her ear operation that the doctor thought it was a failure and it's actually the ear that can hear. But let me not jump ahead. Yeah, and then just lastly, in terms of our move to Gribou, so, I mean, that was confirmed for us. And then I just felt in that week or two, we don't know David and Sam that well. We've had one or two dinner dates, let's say. And I just felt God saying, I think David and Sam must come with. And they're not on leadership, they're saints, but just to bring them along and be part of what God's doing here in Gribou. But I didn't share that with anyone. And then 2 days later, Joy said to me, I just feel like God's saying maybe David and Sam should go with. I mean, out of 200 people in Somerset West, God highlighted them to both of us out of the 200, 240 people there. So we're excited for them as well. So, I mean, we did the right thing. We submitted it to the Somerset West elders and to David's comm leaders and then to him and said, this is what we feel God's saying. And they said, well, if that's what God's saying, then we're in. So as I said, Sam is not here today. Samantha, when they're both here next week, then we'll pray them in. And they've got a little girl called Anna who will be too soon, eh? Very soon. Tomorrow? Oh, okay. So will mommy be back for that? No, oh, shame. Okay, so that's our church story. And then, Kala, if you can put up John 3, verse 8. Because how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? So the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is everyone born of the Spirit. So you can actually have a seat now. Thanks, love. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit, I like the illustration of a sailor trying to find the wind. You know, and it's the same with the Holy Spirit. We've got to experience the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't always react in the same way because we said we serve a God that's personal. He's got a personal relationship with us. He's got a different plan in Chrobo to what he does with the other Josh Jens. So we've got to be listening for the Spirit and we've got to be feeling where the Holy Spirit goes. And that's not limited to church stuff and not limited to the big emergency stuff. So even in my work context, people think I can't apply my spiritual life to my secular life. But you can, and I've done that in all my years at work in terms of engaging with people, but also getting answers. So when I did my articles at PwC or PricewaterhouseCoopers, and I stayed on for quite a few years there, and then through somebody I heard that there's an opportunity at Paul Webb, which was the magazine printing company in Paul, and I went for the interview. And then just seeking God on the way back, saying, God, is this of you? And then a truck coming past with a big curtains on it saying, Paul Webb. And that for me was a sign. And so God speaks to us not just through the Bible and not just through our elders and our comm leaders, but God speaks to us through some like our unsaved family or through billboards as we saw with the Blue Rock as well or through a truck coming past. And I look out for that. So I drive the N2 most days now into Montague Gardens. And God will highlight something that's there on the side of the road that's always there, but I've never seen it. But God will show me on that day that he wants me to show. Or a truck will come past, or a car with a scripture, or just a word on it. And we've got to be seeking the Spirit and expecting answers. You know that when Peter was knocking, the people were praying, Peter was in prison and the people were all praying together, saying, God, please release him. And he knocked at the door and the young girl came and said, hey, Peter's at the door. And they're like, no, it can't be. Let's keep praying. You know, because sometimes we pray and we don't expect an answer. But we've got to seek the Holy Spirit and pray and actually expect the Holy Spirit to answer. And as I said, he can talk through all different sorts of things. Also, I'll sometimes use the radio. So I like Radio Tigerberg on that side of the mountain. But I was even, I had two Christian staff that applied for the same position, and I had to now appoint one of the two of them. And both love the Lord, we'd both do a good job. So now how do you choose? I seek the Lord in this. And the Lord just said, switch on the radio. And it was a secular radio station, and the surnames were, maybe I shouldn't mention the surnames, but the lady had a very unusual surname, and that surname came up on the radio, and I was like, thank you, Lord, there's the answer. You know, so God can speak through anything, and that's just what I want to highlight to you. So even in your work context, even when you pray before you're going to have a briar with your unsaved family and say, God, what are you saying to me? What can I share with them? You know, so really seeking the Holy Spirit in all the things. So the big things, we've shared a lot of our big things, but we've also sought the Holy Spirit for the little things, like when must I give to somebody? There's such a need around us, and there's so many people begging. You know, when do you want me to give? When do you want me to pray with somebody? Because, you know, sometimes just being friendly with a cashier and then they respond and you can see they're hungry for something, right? If you tune into the Holy Spirit, should I be praying with that person or just sharing an encouragement with them? So that's the little things, as I call it, the day-to-day. And with a colleague as well. When last have you said to a colleague, hey, God laid me on your heart. Is there anything I can pray for? And you could pray with them right there, or if it's a person of the opposite chaslach, then you'd say, well, I'm gonna pray for you tonight, you know, whatever it is. But when last have we brought God and the Holy Spirit into our workplace and into our day-to-day? And then, just with my last promotion, So I was actually very unhappy in my job about 2 years ago, and just not happy in the team that I was in, and just the person above me not getting anything done. And so I was then looking for work opportunities in Somerset West, and should I start a business, or must I try and find something similar to what I'm doing in Somerset West? And I had my first, I'd been with a group then for 16 years, I'm now there 18 years, so I had my first interview in Epping at 3 o'clock that Wednesday. So I get a message from the CEO's secretary at 2 o'clock saying, that morning saying, can you see Andre at 2 o'clock? And I'm like, I've got an interview at 3. So I tell her, listen, I've got an outside appointment, so I can only see him for like half an hour. She says, no, it'll probably be 20 minutes. At that 2 o'clock meeting, he offered me this role that I'm currently in. 1 hour before I would have gone, well, I did go for the interview, but it was a bit of a mute interview. But that's God's timing. So in a 16-year period, 1 hour apart, this change of job, and it's been such a change for me, and God's using me in corporate. You know, I think Willem as well, we would all love to go full-time and, you know, be able to do so much more for God, but we're doing so much where we are. Just in that building where I am, there's 800 people. Most of them don't know the Lord. You know, it's such an opportunity to witness to people and to influence people. You know, and that's our role as leaders, is to influence people. And we are all leaders in different forms, and we can all influence those in the workplace as well. Okay, then just lastly, in terms of church, so I just want to encourage each of us here that when it comes to seeking the Holy Spirit for the church, that's not Willem's job. And now, okay, good, now Craig's here now, so they can do it together. It's each one of our job to really be seeking the Holy Spirit for what God wants to do in our congregation here. And I can say our congregation, it's quite nice. So I just want to encourage each of us, for a Sunday, for a Wednesday, even for a social, just seek the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to bring on Sunday? What must I bring to community? And that's how we stretch ourselves, and that's how we grow ourselves. So, I mean, if your family's having a big braai, then you're not going to just rock up empty-handed. You're going to WhatsApp and say, but what can I bring? Only a packet of chips. Can't I bring a pudding? Can't I bring this? And that's normally the heart we have when we meet with family. And we should have that same heart when we meet with this family. What can I bring? What scripture can I bring? And it will be stepping out of your comfort zone for some of you. But it's to take that step of obedience. And that's why you have leaders and elders up front here. So that if you bring a word forward, it can be tested up front and not just released. And sometimes you get a word for yourself that's actually not meant to be shared up front for the church. And you might bring it forward because you want to be obedient. And we might accidentally release it. But God can still use it. That's the amazing thing, is God will still use that. So I just want to encourage you, is just to step in more. Say to your comm leader, when, you know, I got this scripture in the week, or I had this picture. And again, God speaks to us in different ways. So with Joy, God will often give her a scripture first, and then she will take it from there. I might see a picture. And a picture is just like, I'm just seeing a lighthouse, or I'm seeing a waterfall, or whatever it might be. And that might be new for some of you. And you might sit in worship and say, okay, I saw a butterfly above a waterfall, but I don't know what it means. And you bring it to Willem, and Willem might say, but actually Peter was just up here, and he saw the same thing, and this is what we're feeling. And that just builds, it'll build your faith, it's going to build Peter's faith, and it gets shared, and it builds the congregation's faith. So just being obedient in just whatever God lays on your heart, or the Holy Spirit shares with you, just to bring that forward and share it with the community, share it on a Sunday. And can we do that? Can we be prepared when we come on a Sunday? And maybe you guys are better than the Somerset West guys on that. But we don't want to be a church that's a consumer church where we're just happy that we made it. Yeah, the kids have got shoes on and I'm here. You know, that's a win. You know? Eh? It's just a win to be here. But we want to come prepared. We want to come ready to give and not just receive. So that's probably the last thing that I just wanted to share with you. Okay, just, can I have another 5 minutes? Okay, thank you. He wasn't going to say no. Yeah. I just want to talk about what can be negative in churches. And we quickly, as a charismatic evangelical church, you know, we're quick to point fingers at other churches and say, "Yeah, these traditional churches, you know, they're so set in their ways." And if we can put up that Matthew 15, verse 6. "Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." So what he's saying there is, you know, you're so set in your traditions that you're actually stifling the word of God. You're stifling the Holy Spirit. And we've got to let the Holy Spirit move when we're together. Whether that's a Sunday or a briar or whatever it is, are we open to the Holy Spirit? But we can get so set in our traditions, and we point at the other churches and we say, "Yeah, look at these Catholic churches and Anglican churches with their bells and smells, and they're just so set in their ways that the Holy Spirit doesn't move." But we can fall into the same trap, and we can fall into what we could call a Josh Jen lethargy. So lethargy is the English word, or liturgy, I think, is the English word for that, where you've got everything mapped out for the whole service. We can fall into the same mistake, because now we're like, any new visitors? All right, these are the announcements. Two praise songs, and we go into worship. The kids leave, and then there's some prophetic words. Then we preach. Then we maybe have an altar call, coffee. That's the Josh Jen liturgy, and we can so, and guys that are structured like me, we can so easily fall into that. But we've got to be open to the Spirit, where we say, actually, today we're feeling like we're just going to chuck all the chairs out and we're just going to worship. Or we're just going to break into groups of 10 and we're going to pray for an hour. You know, so whatever the Holy Spirit, and you've got to give us the freedom as your leaders to do that, but also to receive words from you guys. So it's not, we're not the only ones listening for the Holy Spirit. We all as a family are listening. What is the Holy Spirit saying? And we try and follow Him and catch the wind of the Holy Spirit together. Yeah, so the four types of churches that we don't want to fall into, and I'm not highlighting this to point at other churches, it's so that we can actually keep ourselves accountable. We've got to do a health check on ourselves now and again to say, are we making sure that we're still Spirit-led? So Scripture-led churches. Sounds good to be Scripture-led, but if you're purely just following Scripture like a textbook, then it's bad, right? Then we can get a Stellenbosch lecturer up front here, and he can take us through the Bible, and we'll really understand the history and everything and the Greek and everything, but there's no life in it. So be careful. We mustn't become so focused just on Scripture that we're not letting the Spirit reveal it to us. Program-led, right? So that can also be good to say, well, I feel like we need to evangelize more, so we're going to do a 10-week program on evangelism. It's good to maybe do it for 2 or 3 weeks, but you don't map out the whole year. So there's churches that say, right, we're going to do Alpha Course in the first term, then we're going to do Rick Warren's book on the purpose-driven life, then we're going to do Walk Across the Room, which is a good evangelism, and there's churches that just go from course to course to course, or they're just doing whatever the comm leader's favorite book is. So those can be useful at different times for different interventions, but we mustn't just fall into programs. The third one is seeker-friendly churches. That means you're basically playing to your audience. So you don't want to upset your people. So you know that there's the guy that actually gives the most in the tithes is in an adulterous relationship. So we don't preach against that because we don't want him to leave. I mean, it's sad, but things like that could happen. And, you know, in the church, you've got the politicians and you've got the royalty. Some churches have those people. They're not part of leadership, but they've always been there. And you don't want to upset the royalty. So those are seeker-friendly churches. I don't think we run the risk of that. And then time-restricted churches, which is an obvious one, where you've just got churches like we meet from 9 to 10, poof. And you do stifle the Holy Spirit by not giving Him the opportunity to move. Yeah, so just one of my favorite quotes from Mike Davies, who I think you guys know, does a lot of teaching through Josh Jen. He says, when you're preparing a preach, you plan like there's no Holy Spirit, and then you preach like you haven't planned, right? So, and that's what we've got to try and do as well. So we make sure that we've got our notes here. I've got my notes here. But we want to be led by the Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit takes us in a direction that says, actually, we're not doing this today. And that happened to me in Somerset West. A guy came up and gave a 24-minute testimony, and it was just what was needed for that morning, and it touched hearts. So my preach got shelved for the day. And that's how we've got to be. We've got to be open to plan in pencil. And, you know, Mike DeFay at one of the 412 conferences, he actually said to me, oh, yeah, I planned this preach, but it doesn't look like they're going to use me. And then I actually realized that they, you know, if there's, let's say, 8 sessions, they probably get about 14 guys to prepare. So over-prepare. so that the Holy Spirit's got space to move. So if you're running a comm, don't just plan 40 minutes. Make sure you've got enough so that the Holy Spirit can move. Or like worship leaders as well. If you only plan 3 songs, the Holy Spirit hasn't got much to work with. But if you plan 10 and play 6, he's got a lot to work with. So just encouragement as well. And maybe I'm going on too long now. But just an encouragement that we do prepare, but that we seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so I think just as a response to this, I just want to give an opportunity for if there's anybody here that wants to just receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a new season for us, and not because we're here. It's a new season, I think, for Grabeau and moving into the new building, and you guys had a lot of words about the number 5 and so on. So I think it's a fresh season for Grabeau, and we want to be part of that. We've come to support, but we haven't come to come and change anything necessarily. So, but we've come to